Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News, a weekly podcast that brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief today in Los Angeles, California.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
What's next for commercial remote sensing? Are the impending cuts in the U.S. military's defense budget driving down the stock prices of the two biggest U.S. satellite companies? And will there be increased competition from not only European, but also the Earth-observing satellites launched from the BRIC countries? All that and more. But first, a word of thanks to our sponsor to start the year, Erdos, an Intergraph brand and now part of the Hexagon group of companies, who want to remind you about Hexagon 2012 in Las Vegas, June 4th to the 7th. Well, Dean, I want to start by bringing news about what has been going on in the U.S. commercial remote sensing industry. On November 28th, Business Week had an article, and you put it into All Points blog, about how lawmakers on the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee were asking the Obama administration to avoid cutting more than $7 billion in commercial satellite programs being developed by both GOI and Digital Globe. Now, what they were referring to was specifically the Enhanced View contract that was awarded back actually in August of 2010. And that contract is a 10-year program and includes 9 one-year options exercisable, and I'm quoting from a press release that was issued by Digital Globe at the time. These 9-year options are exercisable by the NGA and is subject to congressional appropriations and the right of NGA to terminate or suspend the contract at any time. And I think this is what's causing some of the concern. Enhanced View split their contract between the two companies, both getting somewhere between $3.5 and $3.8 billion over those 10-year periods. But I can tell you that when that news came out in November, it really sent the stocks of both Digital Globe tumbling. Digital Globe lost about 25% of its value. GOI went from $36 to $18 per share, almost half its value. So this is causing a great deal of concern, and I can also tell you that when I went to the GEOIN conference and heard General Clapper speak, who's the Director of National Intelligence, there was a real concern in the audience that the cuts would be really deep, and that not only commercial remote sensing, but the whole defense business for geospatial intelligence would be impacted. But to the business of commercial remote sensing, there's a lot of concern going on right now, and that news was quite revealing.
Yeah, and not unexpected. Here in the U.S., certainly we've been suffering through the challenges of trying to balance a budget and a down economy, and government from federal to local has been cutting. So it's no big surprise that this corner might also be cut. And I think it does sort of drive home this idea of maybe we've got some luxury items in our package of information technology resources, and now's the time to have a good look at that. Now, the scary part, of course, is if the government does that, and I think the stock prices reflect this, the confidence in those companies by investors goes right to the floor, because those investors, whether it's true or not, feel very strongly that without that government backing, they're not going to be making any money.
Right, and it should be noted that about 80% of the revenue from these companies, and DGI in particular, comes from these government contracts. So rightfully so, those stocks should have plunged for sure.
And maybe that gets to the real issue here, which is this really commercial remote sensing?
It's a fair point, and it really should be brought out, because we've had this increased awareness of remotely sensed data from a variety of sources, Bing Maps, Google Maps, however you know, whatever you see out there. And we think that this is a really burgeoning industry, but the contracts secured with those companies, with Bing and with Google and Microsoft, really only a small part of what GOI and Digital Globe are bringing in, or the other commercial satellite providers in Europe or otherwise. So it really, it's a fair question to ask, is are we really in a commercial mode? And maybe with these defense budget cuts, will it force the commercial satellite companies to rethink what they're going to put out there in terms of marketable products?
Well, and that's been a real question about the business model for satellite remote sensing for some time. And let's just take a pause for a second and take a step over into the other side of the remote sensing space, which is the aerial side. Right? You take the sensor, instead of putting it on a satellite, you put it on an airplane, you fly it where you need it, you fly it as low as you need to get the resolution that you need. That marketplace has, the prices have dropped. There's been a whole lot of mergers and acquisitions as the smaller players fold. It's been very difficult to make a living at that of late. And that really became a commodity. And part of the reason it became a commodity, again, ties into the government, but maybe more local state government versus federal, of every town, county needing to be flown regularly.
And for sure, government dollars have been propping up both the satellite and aerial remote sensing companies for quite some time. Now, with what we've gone through in the economy, you're seeing this really impacted. And it begs the question, what's the business on the business side, not the government side, but how much will businesses use remotely sensed data? There's just so much business in for a retailer to go count cars in the parking lot because they think they have a marketing advantage, and that's, you know, something we've talked about before.
Right, and that kind of use, it seems to me, is far more likely to take advantage of and put money into the aerial side than to the satellite side.
Right, and of course, that would imply that perhaps unmanned aerial vehicles could also take up where there is this opportunity in unmanned vehicles to fly where you might have satellites otherwise. And I think that's an opportunity. I think that's something that we could see happening, whether that's a microsatellite or a UAV or whatever, for commercial business. I think the price points have to be there, and I think that there has to be greater marketing of the types of advantages and products that those kind of vehicles and launch vehicles could provide. But I think there's an opportunity.
Right, and I think out of Europe, there's actually a package. It's about $70,000 for the actual UAV with the sensor and the software to control it. And so there's a starting point right there.
I did want to bring in the situation with the European and the satellites from Brazil and Russia and India and China. They're launching some satellites, some of which will be primarily for their own purposes. But in the case of the Pleiades, the satellites that are the follow-on to the Spot Images satellite program, that's a new satellite that's going up, funded by the French government. But again, with the hope that there'll be more business on the commercial end. I think this is also providing some competitive pressures to the U.S. market as well, and perhaps all for the good. You know, competition is going to be good for this market.
I agree with you that, yeah, international competition is a great thing, but how many of these do we need, and how much demand for this kind of data is there outside of the government? And if you read the latest article in ARC News by Jerome Dobson, who's one of the smartest geographers I've ever read, and I've been reading his stuff for 25 years, his article is about geography as the macroscope, and that we really need to think of it in its specific ability to look at the big picture, as opposed to the microscope, which looks at the really tiny picture. And he gives some terrific examples in the article. But the argument that he's making, which is that we're not taking full advantage of it, really tunes into this idea of satellite remote sensing, which is all about big picture stuff. Full global coverage, consistent across the globe, so you can compare area to area and year to year. And the demand for that kind of research and work in the business sector does not seem to be there yet.
Well, what I would say to that is the products and the way that commercial remote sensing has been sold has been truly one where the emphasis has been on the intelligence sector. What little has been done in the agribusiness side, I think is good. I think that there's a demonstrated need there in oil and gas exploration. I don't think there's the need that there was. A lot of that business is going offshore into enhanced recovery efforts like the fracking that's going on in some of the areas like the Marcellus Shale. Where the money had been coming from all throughout the history of remote sensing, it really is not been widespread. It's been confined to a very few industries, and the products developed haven't really been marketed quite well. I've said this for a long time. I mean, I used to work for the U.S. Geological Survey in remote sensing. It was all government focused, and the products, although great, have never been given much marketable value to the business sector. And we've continued down this path for 40 years now, and it's not getting any better in terms of new products. The best boon to the industry was Google Earth, and we all know that. But in terms of a marketable product thereafter, I don't think it's been done.
Right. And that, again, I think speaks to our perspective. And I would argue that the biggest demand outside of maybe the defense sort of sector there from the government right now is global warming, climate change.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not that is a kind of issue that is taken up by governments and by world governments, groups of governments, and that's a macro scope kind of thing that's going to make policy for individual businesses down the road, but they're not the ones doing the studying. So it all comes right back to governments doing the investment. And I am just not optimistic about that changing anytime soon.
Let me ask you this. Did we oversell the higher spectral and spatial resolution capabilities of these satellites? Are they needed, in other words, versus what you could get from an aerial platform, as you said?
There certainly are use cases for those specialized kinds of products. The problem is there are too few use cases for those kinds of products from a business standpoint.
Right, because what we've been pushing the commercial satellite companies to do is ever-increasing spatial and spectral resolution, getting into the hyperspectral range. People don't know what to do with hyperspectral data, really. I used hyperspectral data. It's really complex and complicated stuff. And there was never any demonstrable product from either of these things.
And again, it comes back to that whole use case thing. And maybe the analogy is something like in the medical field where we're trying to cure cancer and diabetes and so forth. And then there are these orphan diseases that so few people have that there is no money to do the research to try to find the drugs that might help them. And you've got to make some decisions based on, if you are a commercial business, it is a business decision what you go after.
If I had to say one thing to the commercial remote sensing companies who've got incredible capability and incredible capacity at this point with the satellites that are up there, again, with the increased spatial and spectral resolution, is to really make a viable case to the business community to demonstrate what the business value is. And if that hasn't been done, it hasn't been well articulated. They've relied on the government dollars. Well, things are changing, and they're going to have to change the way they market products and services.
Well, and let me add on to that two sort of data points to highlight that is needed. We go back to ESRI announced last year, I believe, at the Federal User Conference, the Change Matters website, which was a Landsat, two Landsat images, two different times for change detection kinds of things. Very cool, very exciting. Has that been turned into educational products, let alone commercial? Has it been used for anything? Has anything been heard of about that? I have heard nothing. So again, you go to all this trouble to take advantage of this data or even put it out there in this case, and there's limited uptake. I think it's also valuable to point out that Congress, just at the end of the year, has been starting to push NOAA to explore whether or not it should charge for its satellite remotely sensed data. So, government, federal agency, has satellites, mostly related to weather, climate, should it start charging for that data?
Well, I think as 2012 unfolds, we're going to see a lot of changes to the way business is done in the commercial satellite sector, for sure. So we'll leave it there. That's all the time we have for today. We value your comments, and we welcome you to a new year of 2012 podcast by Directions Magazine. If you'd like to write to us, you can send us an email at editors@directionsmag.com or post a comment where this podcast is posted. Send us a tweet at Directions Mag as well. Thanks again to our sponsor, ERDAS, for today and for all of January 2012. We at Directions would like to remind you about the upcoming due date for the Location Intelligence 2012 Call for Presentations. That deadline is February 10th. For more information about the Location Intelligence Conference, you can find that online at locationintelligence.net. Thanks again for joining us today. And be sure to tell a friend.